You're listening to DraftKings Network.
On April 26th, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vanderkoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. Only in theaters April 26th. Rated R.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
We're presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use code DAN for a special offer when you sign up. That's code DAN, only at DraftKings Sportsbook.
We are always thrilled to see this man's face. He is doing kind things with the animal kingdom at all times. So let's start with him where we left off with Cody, because I want to get his assessment on what it is that we were talking about, how he feels, a ruling from him on the proper way to treat a dog when training a dog, how firm to be with a dog. Tell Ron McGill the sound that you like to make to train Flying Charlie, Untrained Charlie.
Eats
couches Charlie.
Right. When my dog does wrong, such as I catch him red-handed with one of my vintage record albums in his mouth, I make the following sound. Bay. And he immediately drops the album. A wash of guilt comes over his face, and he slinks away.
He does it 10 minutes later.
Yes, he
does. Yes.
But he does it. He has a great memory.
Again, though, but it's not because he's scared. Again, it's just there's that guy again, and he's creepy, and he's making that sound. It's not a deterrent in any way. It's just the weirdest thing I, as a dog, have ever seen.
That's right, but it works for that instant.
But the sound correlates with a negative response, and that's what the dog is reading.
Thank you. As long
as he's consistent with the sound, he could go, yippee! And as long as it correlates with a negative response to him, yippee is not a celebration. To him, yippee is, uh-oh, I screwed up. So as long as he's consistency has everything to do with properly training a dog.
Thank you.
Well, how did it work for you, though? Because I would imagine that you would be very gentle. I would imagine that you wouldn't do a lot of losing of patience with animals.
No, I don't lose patience. I speak firmly. I never hit the dog, ever do that. A lot of times, just ignoring an animal, a firm no, and walking away from the animal like a dog is a negative response, because dogs, they crave that companionship, you see. So they can sense that. And you need to be negative about that. I never, ever advocate hitting an animal, ever. And with your hand, with a newspaper, whatever, nothing. Never hit an animal that way. That is not a way to train an animal. You need to be firm, consistent, and the negative response would be just to absolutely disassociate yourself from the animal, walk away, make sure it's not rewarded in any way. That's the best way. Listen, while I'm on the air here, I've got to do something that has to be done. And that is I have to formally apologize to Stugatz.
Yep.
I have heard from reliable sources that Stugatz was not lying to me when he said that a snake was coming into his garage, was halfway in, halfway out, and he lowered the door on it. Now, I must confess, I insinuated that he was lying to me, that he was making it up, and he was not, because credible people have come forward. Stugatz, I am profoundly apologetic, profoundly sorry for insinuating that you were a fantasy creating liar. So on that note,
I will say that snake
was the dumbest effing snake on the planet.
Yeah, I'm still a liar. I mean, but that was the one time I got you where I was actually telling the truth, and the credible source was my wife. Yeah,
but was the snake sick? Was the snake? You're saying it wouldn't have ever happened. That a snake would never be so dumb.
I don't know of any snake that would have.
Yeah,
ever
Ron,
done
was the snake
that.
Sick?
It could have been snicked. It could have been sick. It could have been venomized. It could have already been traumatized. But for a snake to remain in a one place as a garage door is coming down, making all the sound and vibrating, is just, it's unheard of. The snake must have gone into coma. Must have seen Stugatz and just become comatose for some reason.
Or Stugatz could have an exceptionally quiet garage closer. Right? Is that not one of the possibilities?
Kudos on the creativity, Sue.
That is not a possibility, Dan. Yeah. Just a snake can actually sense the vibrations of you walking on the ground. Yeah. So garage door coming down, trust me, is going to be detected by a snake, unless it's a really stupid or a snake that's already on its deathbed.
Could the snake have been napping?
No.
No, the snake was moving. Yeah.
And then halfway into a garage and halfway out of a garage. Mm. The fact that, listen, there was something wrong with that snake. But the fact is, listen, let's not make any excuses here. In this case, Stugatz was telling the truth.
Yep.
I called him a liar. I apologize.
Ron, if we were going through the senses in the animal kingdom, all of the senses, not just some of them, what are the senses that you're most amazed by as you talk about, like, for example, a snake being able to feel vibrations?
Sure. I mean, that's absolutely one of them. You know, a snake, again, the majority of its body is in contact with the ground. It can feel those vibrations amazingly well. But the other sense, the heat sensors of snakes, you know, snakes have little pits on the roof of their mouth and sometimes around their mouth that can sense the difference between the outdoor and the body heat of, let's say, a mouse or any kind of warm-blooded animal. They can detect that, and they can detect it if the mouse has been walking, let's say, 4 or 5 minutes ago, walked along this trail. It leaves a little heat pad. If you saw an infrared film of a warm-blooded animal walking through the forest, you'd see the footprints it leaves behind. Because it actually leaves that tiny, tiny little heat difference. A snake can detect that and track an animal down that way. That's freaking amazing.
Ron, I'm wondering, is there an animal anywhere in the animal kingdom that is like Tua? And what I mean by that is the animal's a killer, but it kills you with kindness, with a smile.
I don't know of any animal that kills with a smile, Stugatz.
Really? But you agree Tua is a killer, right? With a smile?
I'm really, really, have become very, very impressed with his skills. Not as much as skills, but his level-headedness.
Hold on a second. First Take is doing so much better of a show than us right now. What is Michael Irvin screaming about?
I just saw Michael Irvin lick each individual finger.
Oh, wow.
What is he screaming about? He just yelled at Keyshawn Johnson. Was it about Keyshawn Johnson saying that Urban Meyer should get all the money in the world
The lower third is talking about the Cowboys right now. So we're seeing a crazy, impassioned Michael Irvin. Is there any other kind?
Yeah, really.
Licking his fingers. He's having a day, Michael, because Stephen A. usually celebrates the Cowboys losing, but the Cowboys won last night, so Irvin's having his day.
If you've noticed, Michael Irvin has ditched the glasses. People notice this on their coverage, and he posted. He's like, I left them at the hotel. Bro, I can't see shit.
Well, this is quality television. We don't need to have Keyshawn there because Michael Irvin now, this is all about 2 hours of making Stephen A. eat it, right? Like, this is what we've distilled coverage down to. Skip Bayless is a Cowboys fan, and Stephen A. Smith is against the Cowboys. And Michael Irvin is going to be great at this part, right? He's just going to yell at Stephen A. for 2 hours, and Stephen A. is going to be soap opera actor.
Dude, I could hear him, and it's on mute right now. He's been going for it.
Perfect for it. He's just going to, Cowboy fans are going to make the ratings on this.
He's preaching a sermon.
screaming at him.
Tell me any of you caught him licking each individual finger. That's what really drew my attention right now. He is shouting at the top of his lungs. I'm going to have to go back and rewatch this. He just stopped talking. He was talking the entire time.
Yeah, but now he's back. He's going again.
Oh my gosh, he picked it right back. Ending.
Yes, Stephen A. Smith's job is to
They're having a hard time keeping him in the frame.
Yes, he jumped up.
He's singing right now. I think he's singing.
The fake Michael Irvin is here. yes.
Kim. That's what you're missing.
The TV is muted and I can hear him.
Okay.
Key. Ha ha. Key. Ha 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 ha. Ha. Bay.
It's still going.
Bay.
Bay.
Suffice to say he's excited about Monday night's result.
Ron, which is the most difficult animal to train?
Oh, gosh. I don't know. I mean, some people will say that it's domestic cat because they're so individual and so have a mind of their own. But I disagree. I think domestic cats can be trained pretty effectively. You know, and it's all relative to the level of intelligence of an animal. I mean, you know, it's hard to train a roach. I mean, you know, that would be hard to train.
I was sort of specifically referring to zoo animals, I presume, like in terms of the work that you guys do at the zoo. Is there a lot of difficulty with animals?
You know, I think it's a lot less difficult than people think. I mean, we've got our crocodiles trained here. They're trained to go to certain points and to react in a certain way. So, you know, here's an animal that has the size, a brain the size of a walnut, and we can train it to do things that most people can train their dogs to do. So I think animals have a lot more intelligence than many times we give them credit for, which is why I always cringe when I hear Levitard call something dumb or stupid.
I'm hearing and reading reports that Michael Irvin, first take started at 10, went off.
They're bringing toilet paper
right now.
Oh my God.
He is patting his face down with a huge roll of paper towels that he went off without anyone else talking for 11 straight minutes.
Wow. It's a record.
Well, this is Michael Irvin's star turn. He has seen what J.J. Redick and Mad Dog have done with this space. And after the Cowboys, Michael Irvin... Dude, he's got
a washcloth.
He's got 30 years on TV now, 20 years on TV. Like the keeping the Dallas brand alive when it hasn't been any good since Michael Irvin.
Not always on it.
Well, there's that. Let's go back. Mike, do you have any of the sound from Michael Irvin coming through here so they can see how dead on your impersonation is? Now, you were doing...
Well, my impersonation is Michael Irvin hosting on WQAM.
With Kevin Kiley.
That one's especially niche. Yeah.
Do we have any sound, though, of Michael Irvin coming in here when he was in this 11-minute place where he could rev up to the preacher high and captivate for 11. Do you know how long 11 televised minutes is?
They also seem to be in the LA studio today, so it's 7 a.m. where he is.
When I got it, it took me a little while to get it. You know, I got some Lewinsky on mine because I went right home, touched my baby in it. She said, "No, we're not." I said, "Yes, we are."
You're not getting into this bed. You're not getting into this bed with this jacket.
Yes, I
yes,
am.
You are. Yes, you
yes, we did.
All right. Yeah. There you go. That is a startling story, but okay. That's wearing the Hall of Fame jacket while having sex, being baby, uncomfortably fellatio. Michael Irvin.
Yeah, referring to fellatio as Lewinsky.
Hey, on a side note, did anybody ever get any sound of Dorsey? I wanted sound of that.
Oh, yeah. Wow. I would love to have heard that sound. Expletive deleted. Wow.
Ron, what are the animals doing with this storm that's coming? Are they sticking around or have they started to kind of flee the area?
Well, that's a good question because I'll tell you this. I remember during Hurricane Andrew, 12 hours before that storm hit here, there wasn't a native animal to be found around the zoo. No squirrels, no blue jays, no ibis, nothing. It was all gone, even though it was a beautiful day. Puffy white clouds, blue skies. So along that northwestern coast of Florida, I'd be paying very close attention to the wildlife there, the wading birds and such. Are they staying in place? Are they moving out? If they start moving out, guys, get ready because you're about to get your world rocked.
Well, I have been remiss here, Ron, and I don't know, you know, you've talked to us before about Hurricane Andrew and how much damage it did at the Miami Zoo. And we are in the middle right now of Miami being South Florida, basically being the only thing that's not in the hurricane cone. And Tampa, it seems, is heading for something unspeakably devastating, because if this direct hits on Tampa, I don't think people realize what 10 feet of seawater is going to do to a place.
Especially Tampa, because unlike, you know, Zoo Miami, we're fairly far inland. Tampa, the Tampa Aquarium, Lowry Park, those are right against the coast there. And that could be just horrific, the way that Tampa Bay is structured. The storm surge alone could be horrific. I'm really feeling for my friends up there. I've got a lot of friends that are working at those two incredible facilities, and I'm praying for them, man. I'm praying that something is not as bad as what it looks like, because I can tell you right now, this could be catastrophic. Not to mention, I don't even know what's going to have happened in Cuba, because I was in Cuba a couple of years ago in Pinar del Rio and Havana, and that eye went right over there. And I can tell you that area was already compromised. I can't imagine the devastation of that storm going over there, what's happening there. I'm afraid to hear the reports out of Cuba.
What do you imagine that the Tampa Zoo is doing right now, like, to prepare for the worst?
They are pretty much preparing for flooding more than anything. They're trying to get every animal they can up into higher elevations. They're taking their birds, for instance. They're trying to secure them in secure structures. The smaller animals, small mammals being secured in secure structures. I'm telling you, we think about hurricane, we think about the wind. The wind can be devastating, absolutely. But the fear for the aquarium, the fear for the zoo is that storm surge. If that water goes in and it starts, infiltrating their water systems and floods, a lot of animals, they have nowhere to go to, and they fled, they'll drown. I mean, that's one of the reasons we moved our zoo inland here to Zoo Miami from the old Crandon Park Zoo, because back in, I think it was 1962, Hurricane Camille killed hundreds of animals, not from wind, but the Key Biscayne got flooded. They drowned, and that's a big, big issue.
Ron, ahead of Hurricane Andrew back in 92, there was a very memorable photo in the Miami Herald about Zoo Miami storing dozens of flamingos in a zoo bathroom to protect them.
It's one of the best photos he's ever taken, and he's told us before. I don't know. Is that for sale, Ron? Because it's one of the photos that you're proudest of.
And I get asked if it's for sale all the time. I am going to make it for sale. I'm going to get with you guys about that, and we're going to make it available to listeners if they want it. Because it is an iconic photograph. I remember... And it'll never happen again, because now we built a separate structure just for the flamingos, so they'll never be in the bathroom again. But it was a last-ditch effort to save those animals' lives, and in fact, in hindsight, it did.
Well, I'm just wondering, Ron, with the Tampa Zoo in mind, how does a zoo protect animals when you're going to get a Category 4 or something giving you a pretty direct hit? What do you do with the larger animals? How do you protect them?
The bottom line is this, Greg. Most of those larger animals have what we call night houses. There are enclosures that are built to withstand the strength of the animal. Poured concrete, welded metal, basically strong enough to withstand the strength of the animal, and therefore they are strong enough to withstand the strength of the hurricane. That's what happened here in Hurricane Andrew. All of our dangerous animals, the lions, the bears, the great apes, the tigers, they all go into these structures that they go into every evening, and those structures were strong enough to withstand the power of the winds of the hurricane. And fortunately, like I said, we are very high in our altitude here, as far as above sea level, as far as Miami goes, so we didn't have that kind of flooding issue. We're going to have flooding issues here with this storm. We're getting torrential rain here right now, and we're going to have to monitor this. That's why we're closed today and tomorrow, because for those who've been to the zoo, we have moated exhibits, and the moats have water in them. But if the water level rises too much, the animal can just swim across and get out. So there'll be several animals that my suspicion will be off exhibit for several days until that water level lowers.
Ron, I don't think anyone disputes that it's an incredible photo, but why would I want a photo of flamingos in a bathroom?
I don't know. Why don't you ask the 100 other people that have paid me thousands of dollars for it?
But I see it on Google right now. I could just print it.
I just printed 10.
Yep.
And then just Google image, flamingos bathroom, send it to Walgreens.
Flimsy.
$3 maybe.
I
2022, I could just go to CDS.
Beautifully. The freaking Whittingham go print it off the internet? Look at that.
Yeah, those are mine.
Oh, look, there it is.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
We can just get a nice color printer.
Thousands of dollars.
I gotta be honest, it looks even better in black and white than in color. It looks from a different time.
For a whopping 79 cents, you could have color. Yeah.
Whittingham just farted out 9 of them. Your great artwork.
You guys done?
Ron, good talking to you. Thank you.
People that paid thousands of dollars know about Google.
Tell them I have a bridge.
Ron, thank you. He is so done with us.
So mad.
The beleaguered smile under the mustache. An ambassador.
I'm just going to start passing him out.
An ambassador
the
for the zoo.
Take one of them. Watch Christmas, you guys.
Yes, pass them around.
I might too, Mike.
Pass them around. Some of the best artwork. All right. Stugatz would like to leave behind here on his computer and never think about again.
Copyright infringement is what that's called.
It's wrong.
It's wrong.
It's a beautiful photograph. Don't let them.
Everyone's doing it.
Don't let them make you less of an artist. You're a wonderful photographer, and what you do for the animals is exceedingly kind. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Take care, guys.
All right. You guys are unrelenting assholes.
The Dan Lepetard Show with Stugatz is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's time for a self-check-in. How's your social battery right now? Is it drained or bursting with energy? Similar to how a battery stores energy before eventually running out, individuals with a social battery may feel a need to recharge or withdraw from social situations after a certain amount of time. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with work or social gatherings. What's the right amount of socializing for you, and how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/DLB today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/DLB.
Don Lebatard.
Ron Carcavice beat Caminiti in terms of rugged hand?
Ooh. I think so.
What about Derek Bell?
I don't think, I mean, we're talking Carcavice and Ken Caminiti. I don't think Derek Bell is in that conversation.
Hal Morris?
How about Mo Vaughn?
Mo Vaughn might be in the conversation.
Mo Vaughn's a good one, but he doesn't have rougher hands than Hal Morris.
Yeah. Did Sean Casey have rough hands?
You know what? Maybe.
Stugatz.
Good take. My good strong take on that. You know what? It's usually followed by an opinion.
The mayor. I feel like the mayor had soft hands. I do.
I do, too. I think baby soft hands. Gentle, caressing hands. Yeah, I believe that, too.
This is the Dan Lebatard Show with the Stugatz.
I'm assuming that the people listening to this or watching it on YouTube know that what appears to be headed toward the west coast of Florida is a super scary thing that is going to, like, Tampa has grown a lot in many, many years without a lot of people doing the math on how all this marshland down here is affected by flooding and climate change. And it looks like Tampa is going to be hit with something unspeakable in a place that is being evacuated right now in Florida, and a place that's going to hurt. And when you talk about 10 feet of flash flooding, when you're talking about 10 feet of waves, you're talking about changing, you know, knocking down buildings and stuff with flash flood.
There's a lot of old construction in Tampa Bay. They haven't had to deal with a direct hit in a lifetime. This is a once-in-a-lifetime storm if the projections hold true. If it's a direct hit, I fear for that area in the west coast of Florida in a big, big way, because it's never really been a true fear of theirs. Usually, whatever ends up hitting them is a remnant, or it's never a direct. This is going to be bad if the models hold.
They had a bad hurricane a few years ago that came from inland, though.
They had one that went up the spine of Florida, and they were fine for it. Mm-hmm. If this, matching with the tide, I mean, keep in mind, it's on a bay, and there's a lot that has been built along that bay. It could be catastrophic. I'm really worried for all the people there. I know a lot of people have evacuated. They've shown video of traffic. I say good. Because this could potentially be very bad. There are a lot of low-lying areas and a lot of people that have never really had to consider what their lives might look like if impacted directly by a major storm like this.
I wonder if even the bridge linking Tampa and St. Petersburg might be in some jeopardy. I assume
they're worried about it.
Yeah,
they are.
I mean, that would be catastrophic.
I don't believe, I don't believe that the people listening to this, if these models hold, understand what this storm hitting this place is. This is not, they had a storm a few years ago, Stugatz. This is not that at all.
No, I was making the point that Irma started here. It was bad, but it came inland. It came in from a different direction than this one.
It went up the spine of Florida. Right. I would not
this is going to be worse.
Would not be that worried. Like since Andrew, we've dealt with Cat 2s, Cat 3s, direct, and near directs, and we have a whole bunch of construction that has been ready and sustained these types of things that have been wiped out since the last major storm. So Miami is a little bit more prepared despite the bad infrastructure downtown. In inland areas, they're a little bit more prepared for this. Tampa, you go there, the history, you feel it. There's a lot of old places over there that have stood because they've never had to deal with a storm like this. I'm really worried. I have two trips coming up to Tampa in the next couple of weeks, and if this is a direct hit, I fear there's going to be no reason to go. I think it's going to be a disaster right now. I fear the absolute worst, and my hopes and prayers are with everybody that is over there because it could be very
bad. Don't you have people? Weren't you headed to Tampa this week, and now Tampa's coming to you because people are coming to Miami? Miami's, South Florida's one of the few places outside of any cone, and we're going to get flooding too.
We're presently under a tornado watch right now, but yeah, the people that I was supposed to stay with in Tampa on Sunday are now
driving here.
They're now staying with me.
Wait, so I might be able to go to Bucks Chiefs Sunday?
No, you're not going to Bucks Chiefs. I'm not allowing that. As a Bucks Chiefs ticket holder, you should not be allowed to go.
You guys all going to go?
Because the contingency plan.
Group outing?
Company outing.
The contingency
What's the plan? I want to hear this.
The contingency plan. I know the Bucks are in town practicing. That's a huge Sunday nighter. If we can, like, I don't want to be so cursed with it. Like, that. I'm very worried about Tampa right now. But there is a massive Sunday night football game that was guaranteed to do bananas ratings between the Chiefs and Bucks. Right now, the Bucks are practicing in South Florida. I think the contingency plan for that game, should they play it, because if you have a catastrophic event, maybe they just realize that it's in poor taste to have that game. But the backup plan is Hard Rock Stadium. The Dolphins are playing away on Thursday. The Hurricanes are on a bye week. It has the infrastructure, and you can kind of microwave a game over there. I don't know what that means for the tickets. Not that it's important. I don't know what that means for my tickets and Raymond James right now. I am really worried that this could be devastating. Anybody that's been to Tampa a couple of times knows that they're not ready for this.
Well, because we in Miami, like we obviously have Because Miami that airs on the show on Fridays, and we make fun of our lack of infrastructure. But as Ron McGill pointed out, a fair bit of Miami and South Florida is inland. There is obviously massive construction on the beach and along water, and waterfront property is massive. But there is still a degree of, you know, you have the Everglades. You have things that can sort of offset things in South Florida. So much of Tampa and so much of St. Petersburg is built along the water. They sort of built a city around water, as opposed to this is just a strip of land.
And ignored, like Miami continues to do, ignores why nobody ever built there before. The reasons that you were able to get that real estate that is now so expensive is at least because if a storm like this comes, this stuff, none of this stuff is even going to be insurable a few years from now with the way the earth is changing and these storms keep getting worse.
Right, and I know because Miami covers how bad the infrastructure is, and certainly downtown there are places that still have old 20th century plumbing and all that, and you'll see water seep through limestone. But the new buildings that are going up have major wind events in mind because it's reality here. There isn't a single hurricane season that comes and goes without Miami being in some sort of cone at one point. Tampa, largely, it'll probably go through the other side of Florida, and by the time it gets here, it'll be a little weaker. Or we'll get the back end of a storm that's on its way up to parts of Louisiana or the Panhandle. In my lifetime, there's never been a direct hit towards Tampa with a major hurricane. It's kind of been out of sight, out of mind. There's a lot of people there without shutters. There's a lot of people that certainly without impact windows. It's not a real part of everyday hurricane season life for them.
It's not just the storm. It's what's after it. It's the flooding that's coming to those. They're going to be underwater.
It's the surge. Oh,
and the tides that are going to be affecting the Bay Area already as the storm approaches.
Even worse, King Tide, for those of you who don't know, like this is the water's already higher than it needs to be. Like this is when I know we've lamented that the meteorologists who got are all terrorists.
Phil Farrow.
Watched the last couple of days. These guys are giddy because they're amazed. They've been studying all their lives and they know what comes this way. And they're fascinated by the way the currents and the pressures mesh. But they also know get the hell out of Tampa, like right now. If you're doing it right now, you're probably you're bordering on too late because you need to get out before the rain hits.
There is one major entertainment district in Tampa, really, and it's that Riverwalk. It's where the Tampa Bay Lightning play, and all of it is on the bay. And if the tide is what they say it is, in a Category 3 or above, or even it doesn't even take a Category 3 with that kind of tide.
Well, Mike, they're saying because it's moving so slowly that it's picking up steam.
It's going to stay there.
It's going to sit right over Tampa for a while.
This is a very serious situation right now. It's going to have real life ramifications. If it hits that area, if it's a direct hit in that entertainment area, it's going to affect the Tampa Bay Lightning. Not that that's the most important thing, but there's a bunch of ramifications that go with this.
It is the most important thing. Tampa Bay Lightning is the most important thing.
Well, and the
you
safer
need to
the,
get it straight.
No, I'm.
You need to understand. I understand the perspective.
I know you're
expressing with appropriately somber tones what it is that heads this way.
Yeah, so, I like to banter Tampa Bay Lightning, but I think I've been to Tampa more than any other U.S. city. I enjoy my time there. Like I said, I was going to see Turncell up there in a couple of weeks.
Bona
fides.
I have a lot
of friends
Tampa
up there.
Tampa bona fides.
No, I love going to Tampa, and every time I'm up there, I notice the older infrastructure and how it's like an old Florida town, and I'm really worried about how it'll hold up in the face of this. It's a bad situation.
Brady's going to be fine, though, right?
I mean, again, I don't think that game gets played. If the models hold, it would be a bad look for the NFL to have that game
That's going to get canceled in the next couple of days. If this is headed the place that it's headed, obviously.
There are a lot of games, though.
They're moved.
They're saying college football, Clemson game could be canceled this weekend.
Yeah, by the time it goes up the
Eastern
Seaboard.
You really do, given the size of what it is that we're talking about and how long it's going to stay there, and it's going to be weeks of suffering wherever it hits. Like, I do think you need to back off on how it affects sports, because it seems pretty obvious a calamity is coming this way that would be Katrina-ish because of how, again, it's sped up in strength to just sit there in the worst possible place at the worst possible time on where the king tides are. It is a disaster. Even if it's just a Category 3 and not a 5, as these things go from 80 to 130 faster than we've ever seen them, it's a disaster for that area. Outside of Louisiana, I can't think of a lot of worse areas for it to swamp, because there were things not built on those shores for a long time and people not living there for very good reason.
Well, there's plenty of places in Seminole Heights that feel like toilet bowls a little bit. They just go into the earth. And there's a lot of new construction that's right on the bay, very expensive homes that are literally steps from the ocean right now. If I really hope this thing jogs or suffers some sort of shear to weaken it, or maybe the tide lowers it, because right now there is nothing good in these advisories.
And you saw, I saw a video yesterday of where the seawall is relative to the current water level, and there's only about 2 feet separating
them.
It's
a joke, the seawall.
No, it's insane. And so you have, you know, a forecast 5 to 10 foot storm surge. It's going well over that seawall. And there, I saw a video of a hospital trying to prepare and put things up, and they have contingency plans in place, but they all feel so useless at this point.
I don't feel like I have it wrong. You correct me, given what it is that we're talking about here. I don't think I have it wrong when I say, so that people understand what's about to hit Tampa, it's not flash flooding. It's the ocean just going as far inland as it can before it gets to one of the last safe spaces, which is Orlando. Like, Orlando's supposed to be one of the safest places on earth from whatever's happening in your town. Fires, drought, tornadoes, whatever it is.
Yeah, very inland. Very inland, and with all these infrastructures that are a little bit newer because the city's growing exponentially. And I know a lot of people from Tampa have migrated over to Orlando. Some have family and have come down here because we're outside the cone right now, even though our weather's been kind of crap. Make no mistake about it. Well, like, when you draw comparisons to Katrina, which the levees broke and everybody realized how poorly designed that city was after the fact, and there were a lot of stern warnings beforehand from people that were kind of perceived as kooks, and it wasn't a reality until it actually happened. No one ever really considered how susceptible Tampa was, because never in our lifetimes have they been in the dead center of a cone. It's happening right now, and with match that up with King Tide and their older infrastructure and these older homes that haven't had to stand up to winds like this, it's the perfect storm to decimate this area.
I believe I texted some friends asking if they were, you know, evacuating even from Orlando. I believe you have the possibility here, without being a terrorist about these things, and as someone who has lived with these storms for 35 years, that yeah, you're looking at Tampa feeling erased.
By, it could be. It seems like
the ocean coming over a town. When you're talking about 10-foot waves, you're talking about the ocean just won't be held back by a seawall or anything else before it swallows a piece of Tampa.
Watching the Weather Channel last night, and first off, if you're in Tampa, you really should leave. Like, I feel terrible for you, but you have to leave. You should leave. Like, it drives me crazy that people want to stay by their house. It really does.
If Some people can't leave.
If you can, then leave. If Jim Cantore tells you to leave, it's time to leave.
Some people can't leave. Some people need help leaving. Some people don't have the ability to just leave.
Totally fair. But this is it doesn't matter 3, 4, 5. It's a storm that's going to sit over Tampa, if it does, if it has a direct hit, for a day, maybe two days.
Yeah, that's the part with nothing. The part of it, when you talk about what this storm is, it's the staying there that makes it as bad as anything. I don't know how to segue from that into anything.
The Dolphins are ranked number one in ESPN's power rankings.
ESPN's?
That's right.
Oh, my God.
ESPN. Jumped up 5 spots.
What?
Yeah.
I'm almost uncomfortable with this.
You're out.
Why are you saying that I'm out? I care more about, like, way more about the Dolphins than you do.
Oh, wow.
He cares more than you care.
Pardon me?
God.
I've watched you be bored about Dolphins conversations for the 20 months that I've worked here.
What does that mean?
Wow.
He called you a bit of a fraud there.
I mean,
Billy.
I did think you were a Colts fan.
Are they going to win the Super Bowl this year or not?
Yeah, say it.
No, they're not going to win.
Then you don't care. I care more than you.
If they won a playoff game, I'd be thrilled.
Yeah.
Not enough. They haven't won in 20 years.
This is the year.
This is the year.
Dad, you're a respected columnist. What are you doing?
Look. I picked the Dolphins number 5 in the entire league in my preseason team rankings.
Yep,
this team is not sneaking up on me.
Day one.
I know they were good.
I'm with Witty. If you're telling me they got all over the place today. I will announce that they're not going to win the Super Bowl. I will announce that.
Okay.
And there need to
What'd you tell DP over there? What was that situation?
Oh, yeah. I think I told him I was all in. Oh.
I'm so proud of you, man.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Don Lebatard.
Greg Cody of the Miami Herald is writing an article, and I'm reading in it. Moss Miami sold out. Miami artists, Miami culture. And I'm reading Moss Miami is sold out. And I'm reading about Digital Podcast Network. And I'm reading about us. And I'm like, this is our dreams coming true.
Stugats.
1,000 people come out and we see the shipping container and they're on a stage and they're like rock stars. You and me both had tears in our eyes. We're like mom and dad of sentiment. And it's hard to get you to sentiment, man.
That was a very emotional moment for us to see those guys. I'm telling you guys, you were on stage. Dan and I were both crying. Are you guys aware of this? Crying.
Yeah,
like crocodile tears.
We believe
no, crocodile tears are fake. crocodile tears are fake.
I thought they meant big.
This is the Dan Lebatard Show with the Stugats.
They wouldn't dare do one of those nostalgic, pinstripe, glorious Aaron Judge cut-ins, the statuesque, real home run hitter from mythology who doesn't need steroids to do it on the NFL. They wouldn't do it to King Sport last night. They will only do it to minor league football. And Stugatz, the college football seismic change, I really do want to grapple for a second with my fandom, because yesterday on the show, you pointed out to me, I had been stubborn in my belief all my life. Do not criticize the college athlete. He's and her, she, he and she are just out of high school. They're not professionals. It's the illusion of professionalism, but they shouldn't come under the same scrutiny. We don't need to that. What happens with professional contracts in sports, what's unwritten into those contracts is here comes unfair fame and scrutiny. It's going to, you might not be grown enough to endure it, but don't do it to college kids. It's always been my philosophy. You'll rarely find any history of me saying any UM quarterback was garbage or anything like that, because that must be very hard for college kids or yes. kids that age grappling with any number of things. I've never thought it fair. And yesterday you called me on it by just saying, well, they're pros now, Dan, as I'm talking about Van Dyke falling apart. And I don't know if it's the offense or that that's a lot of pressure. If I don't know if it's the receivers or, you know, I don't know who's built it at 18, 19 years old for carrying a Heisman campaign or first round picks. I can't see inside helmets to know what kids are grown enough to endure that. And Stugatz is correcting me, my relationship with this. And he's right. Well, if they're mercenaries now, if I'm looking up and K-State has got the Martinez guy that's talked about in Better Call Saul because he was the Nebraska quarterback, and I'm like, well, wait a minute, why is K-State good? Oh, because they got Martinez.
And Martinez is still roaming around college football?
Martinez is good?
Really?
Martinez,
not only are they getting paid, Dan, some of these guys are 28 years old.
Well, this is the thing I'm telling you. Martinez might as well be a symbol at this point.
I mean, Kenny Pickett was, I think Kenny Pickett's 32 years old.
But if it's going to be minor league football like
anytime
that.
Anytime someone tells me that you hasn't been relevant in 20 years, I'm like, they were number two in the nation final week, and right. Kenny Pickett won that game.
University of Miami's rhetorical punter trick is my age. I have.
How am I to change my relationship with
some
of these
things? I mean,
you
have an NIL deal with Tyler Van Dyke. Like, you specifically are contributing to these people, but I do think that college athletes, while, like, they've always been mercenaries, especially at the elite programs, they've always been getting paid, but now it's public record and there's legal ways to do this.
We had to go through compliance to give away our money to a college team because they're still not actually paying the athletes while signing $8 billion deals as Dabo gets 10-year extensions, and we are covering the cost of what used to be the injustices. Like, they're not sharing the television money with the kids. It's another plan in disguise, and we're the sucker boosters. And our guy's benched. We're paying the University of Miami.
He deserves to be benched.
Stop it, dude. Like, he's an NIL athlete that your show is endorsing. You're out here f***ing ripping him. Like, chill out, dude. He's out there posting the show. I'm sure he feels f***ing bad about it. You're out here talking shit. Like, he's 21 years old. Rally around him a little bit.
He's 21 years old.
How would you like it if some asshole went to a microphone and started talking shit about your daughter who struggled in a game? It sucks.
If they do it, Mike. Okay? So I can't say anything because we're paying Tyler Van Dyke. Get the hell out of here.
You wouldn't say it. You'd extend a little bit more benefit of the doubt.
Why?
I just think with
because
college
he's our
kids,
athlete? He hasn't played well.
Because he's our athlete.
Yeah, but he hasn't played well. He deserved to be benched.
I certainly in that game they wanted to spark. They found it a little bit, but I do think with college kids, you don't just like hammer them the way that you do with the pros. You try to rally around them. Even when there's like shit quarterbacks out there, you extend the benefit of the doubt.
You can rally around Tyler Van Dyke all you want. I don't have to.
I understand you're
a fan of his. You're a fan of the university. You're a fan of Miami.
Right, I understand. But you're writing checks that I have to cash. Like, after this show today, I'm speaking to Tyler Van Dyke's representatives.
Welcome to my life, trying to figure out how I balance you
talking shit about a 21-year-old.
Oh, well, too bad. Play better.
This is the thing, though. As I try to revisit, and now as you get the real stuff in front of you, where Mike cares about this program, he's invested.
I know he does.
But it's not just, he's invested everything. It's not just money and time and caring and public affection. He's trying to build the program. He's legitimately from inside the machine.
Yes, golden cane.
Trying to strengthen the program, but his propaganda is infecting our ability for Stugatz to just hit the note that's the easiest, which is blame the quarterback because something's gone wrong.
It's my favorite note. Don't take that note away from me. Stugatz hasn't changed. Right.
I've changed. Yes. No, I'm in. I think.
But you're yelling at me.
Well, I think now is the time for, obviously, I'm bought into the program with my own money. I'm giving a lot to this program, and I think it's time for buy-in. Like, you, that's a position that Dan's always been in. Like, you just drive back up to Jacksonville. You don't deal with the consequences. You just rip and dip. Like, it's a little bit, the math has changed a little bit. Our show is supporting a young adult right now. If Destiny Harden struggles throughout the ACC tournament, I'm not going to be out there crushing Destiny Harden. I think the relationship's changed a little
bit. But you're going to the Stugatz wheelhouse of not allowing Stugatz, because you're compromised, bought and sold through NIL, trying to do the right thing for athletes and show compassion and humanity. You've run up against the buzzsaw of Stugatz always wins, and he gets to criticize the athlete no matter the age. Bring him some embryos to dine on.
No, credit to him. He's
excuse
fearless.
Me. Hold on a second. We're paying him. I mean, if Tyler Van Dyke wants to pay me, I'll gladly shut up.
Who's right here? Who's right as it gets tense here?
No, I'm not right. I'm not right. I'm obviously compromised. But at the same time, it's just like, it stands to reason, if you're paying a kid an NIL deal and he's going through the most difficult time in his college career, considering all the expectations, and he's out there posting episodes of the show, episode in which you, a grown man, are talking shit about him, it stands to be a difficult situation for me to navigate.
Well, what you're saying is that it's a conflict of interest for a media outlet, which this show is involved in that orbit, to pay for an athlete. That's
No. This is not, like, we can cover him, and I'm just saying the internal strife that comes, those are consequences. Those are, yeah, like, he's entitled to say it.
I started the segment with...
The only way I know how to cover
him. We have a promotional deal with
him. That's what I do, Mike. I'm sorry.
He picked the fight with the fans first.
I started the segment by simply asking, what am I to do with a totally changed landscape?
You're at the center of it.
A fandom where I don't actually want to criticize college kids, but once you make them professionals, that's the deal. Like, cruelty is almost baked into it in a way.
But they were always professionals.
But before...
But now we know.
Look, I'm not saying other people weren't saying. It was my personal... Whatever. It doesn't mean anything. It's one person's ridiculous stand on I'm not going to do it that way. And I'm dressed as a clown today. And none of you knew who I was when I walked in. And we still haven't addressed on YouTube what I'm doing as we're making important societal points about injustice.
I'm Mad Hatter. But it doesn't count because you didn't do it on Depp Pageant Day. So that's what you get for doing Rogues. So one day you just show up as Edward Scissorhands.
I owe like 8 now already. And I know they're just going to call me the Mad Fatter. I've just left myself open to this.
What are you doing?
I'm infuriated!